Brian?
Yeah, it was
he's making all the ruckus.
Yeah, I got a rainstorm pattering on the roof here. It might make it sound like I'm getting shot at. So
find a tree and get under it.
Okay, so
opening comments, Ryan.
Date first.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to my document here. All right, we got a Operation Mutual Defense Advisory Board meeting for Sunday, November 15th at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And I think we have I'm going to cut any opening comments, but pretty much nothing, and move straight into stuff. I'm sure we have a lot to cover and discuss here today, so let me try. I'm trying to pull up this darn thing. Okay. I don't have a response matrix product finished for you guys yet. And I don't have, the only addition we have, excuse me, is the Melissa Deagle thing, which I'm still reviewing. We'll go to that. Dang it. And so I think, I can't see this darn, the agenda here.
Next agenda item is Hammond.
Okay. All right. So as far as the Hammond situation goes, I believe as of our last meeting, we had made a vote to close door number 3, which would be if the Hammonds did not make a request and they also were going to come out in against any action from OMD, that we would not pursue any action in that case, but that the other doors were open. Obviously, if they made a request or if they did not make a request, we would present courses of action. If they were not going to come out in the negative against us, or if they were going to come out in the positive against us. After speaking with the sheriff this last week, it sounds like he's definitely getting hammered from the other side. The federal government's already started to feed him information, and they're definitely painting the Bundys and ourselves in a certain light, which he's being advised about. I'm not sure what his perception of that is. I can't get that from talking to him. But he's looking into the whole situation, and ultimately it sounds like whatever decision he does come to, he's been pressured pretty heavily to intervene and step in between the Hammonds and this attempt to arrest them. So that's basically what he's trying to establish. We've gotten him a few documents. Hammond Bundy got him a whole slew of stuff, and so he's going through that and getting citations and such. I spoke with Mrs. Hammond last night.
Hey, before you go there, while we're still on the sheriff, didn't you talk to him about the possibility of grand jury?
I did speak with him about that, yeah, and he pretty much, he feels that he has enough of a grasp on the community sentiment about the Hammonds that he said any grand jury I put together, I feel pretty confident that they're going to rule in favor of the Hammonds. I don't know if, you know, how we view that. The fact that he doesn't want to do it because he feels like he knows what the answer is going to be, to me kind of means he's willing to not even acknowledge what the community has to say about it, and just take the matter completely into his own hands. And I guess it depends on where he lands in regards to that. If he lands in the on the federal government side of the federal government does have the authority to do what they're doing. The Hammonds have been charged properly under the proper statute and all of those things, and what ultimately says that they are arsenal terrorists, then I guess the community's, he's going to say that the community's opinion is irrelevant because he has made the decision. So I guess that kind of leaves open an avenue of approach, because I think that that opens up another thing that can be pursued. The Bundys are very interested in such pursuits of putting together grand juries in order to look at the evidence. So if the sheriff's not going to do it, then that may ultimately, an effort might have to be put together to get that done and get the public sentiment. There again, I don't know how much we get involved with that, other than offering the ideas up and then possibly individually helping out with the carrying out of the process. And then if he rules in, if the sheriff comes to a decision that's just supportive of the Hammonds, then I guess it doesn't matter what the public sentiment is either, because he's pursuing a course that appears to be in line with what he's saying. He knows the public's going to rule in line with the Hammonds. And if he comes to that same conclusion, then I guess he's supporting his community that he has authority in. So anyway, we'll just have to see where he lands. And one of the things that Ammon Bundy and I discussed was keeping pressure on him, to let him know he does need to come to a decision, because that's going to be a pretty heavy weight in determining what our courses of action are, what direction we go with this thing. And it's also been told that there will be no neutral ground. I think that they got a recording out. It's in the Dropbox of the of myself, Ammon, and Mrs. Hammond's meeting, and also me, Ammon, and the sheriff. And in that meeting, he's told, that there will be no middle ground, and he's been told since then as well. So we'll see where he goes. That should be about it for the sheriff. Speaking with Mrs. Hammond last night, she sounds supportive of the idea of a defensive force coming together to ensure the safety of the Hammonds. She reiterated that there is a fear in the Steve and Dwight, especially Dwight, which he also mentioned to me in our conversation, that if they don't toe the line, if they try to make any effort to stand up on their own two feet, that they will literally be shot or killed in some way. He said shot. So there is a fear, and one thing that she reiterated is that Stephen is kind of in charge of the decision. They are making decisions as a family, but since they've left the ranch to Stephen, he's managing it. He's the one who's going to be carrying it into the future. They've left the decision on how to proceed with him. And as Ammon related his character to me a little bit, he said, you can tell that he's a fighter, but he's just been beaten down. So he wasn't aware of groups like us, and that there was people all over the country that would come to their defense if we saw an injustice. So moving forward with that, we have a meeting this Wednesday with all of the Hammonds, Susan, Dwight, Stephen, I'm sure his wife will be there as well, Stephen's wife, myself, and Ammon, and then another meeting with the sheriff as well. And so I think we'll get a better feel for where we're at after that. It didn't sound to me, I did ask pointedly, to Mrs. Hammond if they would come out in the negative against a response from OMB. She wanted clarity on what such a response would look like. And, you know, I just maintained that it would be nonviolent, but it would be firm. You know, since we haven't come up with any courses of action, it's difficult to present it with something. So there's basically a lack of clarity on our part with that. We're kind of in the same position. And I believe that is where the Hammonds situation sits at the moment. Anybody have any questions or anything they want to insert with that?
I got a question. Is there any articles or anything that's already out there about this case that I can help promote, push out, and shed light on?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. If you look at the Bundy Ranch blogspot page, there's a ton of information on there that Ammon has put together, and I believe some of that stuff is just formatted in the way that you can grab it and post it and share it in emails, whatever you wanted to do. And then I believe he's already put out a ton of stuff on Facebook. The stuff he's putting out is getting you're talking 500,000 hits on it already. So there's quite a bit of a public fervor, you know. Well, anyway, there's public awareness to the tune of at least 500,000 folks.
If you want documents, if you wanted printable stuff, I've got them on my computer. I think it's his last letter to the sheriff.
Now, most people aren't going to read it. They just want just articles that I could push out. I guess in a sense it's kind of like, since we're seeing a light, a possible light at the end of the tunnel of they may actually let us help them take a stance, then I want to start pushing it out there and getting people prepared, I guess, just more aware of the situation. Because I was completely unaware until I had heard about it through you guys.
We've got two sources primarily of information, Bill Good and Ammon Bundy. Ammon Bundy's letter to the sheriff, I think, was quite good. The problem is he hasn't provided any source documents. He makes claims about what documents say, and if OMD is going to come out with it, I think that we need to get that information and make a very complete representation of the situation.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Is Ammon, you know, there's discussion about strategy and how to keep things moving, how to put pressure on on the sheriff. One of the things Ammon specifically did was leave out that citation so that the sheriff would have to come to him for the citation, basically. And if the sheriff, it's going to show whether the sheriff is actually pursuing this, first off. And second off, it's going to maintain a relationship with our side, with the sheriff, who already seems pretty, you know, he seems not only receptive to our ideas, but he does show a genuine respect for the cause. So, anyway, we'll see where all that goes. Like I said, I think that it will be revealing if he doesn't come asking for any information whatsoever, then that means he's willing to see that the federal government's position, which is most likely, from our understanding, the county attorney, is pretty much towing the line with the federal government's position. And so he's not expecting to get any good information out of his county attorney. Anyway, it should be a good indicator. Any other questions? Just on what you said, John, pushing this stuff out and making it as public as possible. And, you know, the Hammonds are not going to be, the Hammonds are not going to be aware of that type of stuff just because they don't pay attention. They're probably not going to notice anything unless it hits mainstream or their local.
Yeah, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it so people can start making arrangements, letting their employer know, or just, it's so that the people that are going to be coming start making preparations or plans, like give them an estimated timeline or stuff like that. So if we're looking
right.
at you know, January timeline that we're going to be heading up there and taking a stance in January, then they at least they got a month or something to understand or be able to make preparations.
Well, I think
absolutely.
We need to know
yeah, I wanted to lend one of the positives. I just wanted to insert that one of the positives that's going to come out between publicizing this more is that we can make sure that the Hammonds see that there is this public support, that they're, you know, they just have never been aware of this type of support. So the more that stuff gets pushed out there and the more people that become aware of it, it's going to be better just to let them know and be comfortable that we do exist, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I agree with what you said, and then I think that this is just an extra positive point to it. Yeah, sorry, Gary, go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, that getting people prepared when we might not do something is not very good for us. You know, if we talk about something might happen and Hammonds don't go along with it and we find no way to get in, it might make us look a little foolish, kind of like the Oath Keepers.
I'm not going to be putting OMD's name on anything. All I'm doing is, you know, I got X amount of people that follow me and just putting it on their radar about the situation. That's all it is. So they're aware of it.
I'll get you
like
the
that.
Links to the Bundy Ranch stuff so that you can spread that. Might be better to let Hammond speak for it now to keep the distance from us.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, if you put out a news article, John, and then that gets it on their radar, and then if something changes, if we have some movement in a week, then you start inserting information. I think it's going to be nice to have it already on their radar, so they're going to want to look into, okay, I wonder what the developments are on the hand. I see the utility, but then as long as there's no course of action alluded to this. Sounds good.
Get their minds ready, not their bodies.
I posted a thing on my social media page with the Bundy's letter along with all their little links in there and the violations and everything else. And I told everybody, you don't know what's happening. You need to start informing yourself of what's happening because this could be the next Bundy. And
yeah.
So, I've already started putting it out there to tell people, you know what, it could be coming, and if it does come, it's coming fast.
Okay, and I could just go onto your page as well then, Tim, and be able to push it out or share everything that I see on your page. So.
Yeah, yeah, because I would rather be informed that something's coming and not have and then stand down than all of a sudden at the last second sit there and go, holy crap, I can't do it because I got to move or whatever, you
yeah.
know? So I think putting something out there that's saying it's possible that's coming, so you might want to think about it.
Yeah, I don't know if the sheriff's, Hammond's letter to the sheriff with all of that information is linked. I'm sure it is in some way.
Yeah.
And I'm positive it's on
yeah.
the Bundy Ranch website.
Yeah, it's the same letter he sent to them, the governor of the state, the congressman, and everyone else.
Yeah, he copied.
Right, and it's not cited. So you know, if people want the information, they're gonna have to go a little further to get it. But it does give a very thorough outline of all the crap that they're being put under the thumb for. So
yeah. It gives them an idea of what's getting ready, what's going on, and what could happen.
Right. Right.
I think it's beneficial to get it out there because, you know, you don't have to put the OMD on there, but we need to start blasting it around there to get people realizing that this could happen, and it could happen, you know, within the next 8 weeks, and 8 weeks is not a lot of time. Right. So, but I've already started getting it out there, and I'm going to keep pushing it.
Yeah, I think we actually we're talking more like four to six weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks
that we'd be looking at. Yeah, 4 to 6.
So,
depending on how preemptive we want to get. I mean, if they haven't even been told where they're supposed to report to. So at this point, what Mrs. Hammond said last night, they don't want to report, and they don't want to be arrested, but they haven't made the decision to not report and not be arrested yet.
Well, the reason behind that is maybe they're not going to let them report. They're going to show up and just snatch them.
No, the judge's order was for them to report, I think it was on the 4th, so they've just got to give them a place to report.
Yeah, they just haven't provided a location. So it would be reasonable then that whenever we do start looking at a course of action on if it's with a request for defense, then it'll probably be sometime right around there.
Yeah,
I
have a question.
What they were sentenced with or to, was that their minimum sentence? Or was this like a harsh punishment? We know it's cruel and unusual.
There's a minimum mandatory sentence that is tied to what they were charged with, the arsenal terrorism charge. And the first judge that sentenced them, he said that to sentence them to that, because he felt it would be cruel and unusual punishment because the crime didn't fit charge, which is interesting because he still allowed them to be charged with it. Anyway, they served, so he sentenced them to the year and the 3 months, respectively, for Stephen and Dwight. After that, the government appealed, the BLM appealed, and said that this is not the minimum mandatory for this charge. So they went back and went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Obviously, they're going to rule against the people in almost every situation. And they got it up to the minimum mandatory, which is the 5 years, obviously minus time served. So Mr. Hammond would be 79 when he comes out of jail.
Yeah, I just don't want my tax dollars to go towards putting people like that in jail.
Incarcerating 80-year-old men? Yeah.
Yeah, 80-year-old, men that aren't out committing crimes or don't seek to do any crime and just trying to make ends meet and provide for his family. And
Well, I'm really looking forward to you meeting the Bundys, here in a couple of weeks, and then if you get a chance to meet the Hammonds, people like that, these older rancher folks, they're salt of the earth. They're super nice, very hospitable people. You just can't imagine. It's very difficult to imagine that they're in the main crosshairs of the federal government. It's ridiculous, so and a little painful. Anyway, any other points or questions on the Hammond ordeal?
Ryan, one for you.
Yes, sir.
The meeting that you're going to have on Wednesday with the sheriff and the family, can you record that as well?
Sure, I will be.
I appreciate the recording. I had a couple of problems downloading it, but it was more of my issues and a driver thing. But I'm about halfway through it, and I'm finding it very interesting. So thanks for uploading it.
Good. And I was able to mess around with the recording software a little bit yesterday. So the next recording will come in a lot clearer and, a lot less distant. It should be a lot easier to listen to. It may be a larger file, though, and these files are pretty large, as you saw, 142 megabytes for that one file. So,
well, that's why we got a Dropbox.
right. And so the next one will be a lot more clear, but I'm glad that it's serving its purpose for you. You'll also notice there was a skip silence feature that I had turned on, especially during the sheriff's interview. And what it does is it just stops the recording whenever it doesn't hear anything. The problem is that I didn't have the sensitivity up enough on the microphone, so some of the stuff gets cut out, and it's generally small little snippets at the beginning of the speech, so you kind of get the gist of it through the recording. But anyway, if it sounds choppy or like there's some jumping around, that's what it is. It's that skip silence feature. So anyway, I got that stuff squared away with the recorder. The future ones should be a lot better.
Outstanding. That's all I had.
All right. Well, if nobody has, what?
Next item is a web page. If nobody's got any questions more on Hammond.
All right. As far as the web page, what's the goal? Just to say pleasures, displeasures?
Well, it was more of what's the initial response that you may be hearing out there. I mean, I saw some feedback on Facebook a little bit, and it doesn't seem like the discussion portion's really taken off. I was just curious of the opinions of probably mostly Gary, who can see the back end of it.
Okay, well, I got some numbers from it. On the 9th, the day we went on, there were 95 people visited the web page, the whole web page. Some of that was us fine-tuning some things, making corrections on pages that we found. On the 10th, we had 1,662. On the 11th, 499. On the 12th, 242. On the 13th, 132. On the 14th, 188. And this morning, as of 7:20, about 3 hours ago, we had 22 visitors. Now, or page views. Now, page view, somebody goes to 5 different pages on there, it's going to show that many page views. So roughly, the total is 2840, and probably realistically, 30 to 40% of that would be visits to the page itself, because they jump around between pages. Now the mail list, we had 20 on there from the past. The page was set up a year ago. On the 10th, we had 30 people sign up the list. On the 11th, 15th. On the 12th, 6, on the 13th, 6. Today, so far, 9 have signed up, so we've got 86 total, 66 new as a response to the press release. In the discussion forum, there are 11 people have signed up as members. Guests can see everything. You know, there's nothing restricted at this point. But there have been 2,620 page views on it, and again, if they go from one link to another, it shows as a page view. Can't discern how many, I don't have any statistics on how many individual people, because a guest, if he comes back 3 times, would show 3 times. But that's the numbers on it. So, you know, I would like to have seen more, but at least we've got a start. We're recognized, and the fact that we're going up today, well, we had the weekend 6 and 6, and then we had 9 today. At least people are becoming aware of OMD, and I think it'll spread. Any questions about it?
Nope. I'll help push it out and promote it some more. I'll probably make a video discussing it a little bit and urging some more people to get active and get involved, because I do get hammered with messages of, what can I do? What can we do?
Remember, when
yeah.
you talk OMD, watch your language, John.
I know.
The sentiment, essentially, you know, everything's been pretty good. The questions that I've been asked, I've gotten quite a few questions on the OMD Facebook page as to, you know, how to get involved and such things like that, like you said, John. I think there's only really been one bad thing that I've seen, and I don't know that I would call it bad, but it's as far as somebody associating OMD with the people that are involved, with their past understandings of events and such, and then spreading that around a little bit. But other than that, I haven't seen any bad sentiment, and everybody seems to really like the mission, and the structure has been another. I have had a few people compliment specifically that there's nothing else out there that is as organized, or that appears to be as organized. So everything sounds good so far. It would be nice to see it getting out there a lot more.
There was a guy in the Western Rifle Shooters Association, WRSA, blog that a guy goes by Sandman. He's from West Virginia, and he was kind of critical, not of the OMD page, more of me, and I politely responded and showed his error. But some of the people on the WRSA page were pleased with it, and it was the fact that WRSA chose to repost the blog or the press release. They've got a very large distribution, so a lot of people have seen it. Whether we see response in the future or not is a whole different story. But then the guy, Sam Carradine, one of the 3% groups, has begun promoting it on his pages as well. So, you know, it is slowly getting out to other than the initial presentation of it to other blogs.
All right.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted, so I'm good with that, Gary.
All right. Any other questions or points on the website and the press release and the rollout, public rollout? It'd be nice to get a get it in a lot more people's heads, obviously, so whatever efforts can be undertaken individually to help that out, then let's do them. So, okay, what's the next item there, Gary?
Well, background and plan, you and me. I've given you a brief on Wolf. I know it was rather extensive. Basically, I went back and cut and pasted from the articles. The information is still valid. You can see at least my impression of the chicanery the government used to go after Wolf. It was transferred by an agent. That exempts him, but he's being charged. He was supposed to pay the tax, but he had it for less than 5 minutes at a truck stop. How do you pay the tax? They don't have a tax booth there. The whole thing is a setup. There's very little doubt based on the indictment, and I think the links are in there. If not, I can give links to the indictment and everything. And in the indictment, most of what they talk about is what he's been talking about. So, you know, obviously their motivation, it was politically motivated. Now, as far as the plan, I guess that's up to the board now.
Has everybody had a chance to review that stuff on Wolf? Probably a better question, who's not up on what the situation is?
I'm not 100%. I know that's what's been said to me. I have not reviewed that.
Okay.
You need to take the time to read that Wolf brief that I put out.
It's very detailed.
Yeah, you do a very good job on every one of them I've seen so far. It's like, wow. You know what? If I ever get arrested for something, I'm going to just have you as my lawyer.
Well, we tried that in Wolf's case. I didn't go into detail too much detail on the habeas corpus on that, but that's where the court at first opened the door to habeas corpus, and then apparently they found out I was involved, and they clamped up real tight, and for $5 he was denied a right guaranteed by the Constitution.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So as far as where that thing stands, really need to get a make sure everybody has a familiarity with it and understand it, because this is one where he's very obviously being held. I mean, if once you see all what the situation is and how the government is handling it, it becomes pretty obvious that he's a political prisoner. The question becomes then, I guess the question that I would ask is, do we want to get involved? Are we ready to get involved in situations which are freeing political prisoners, I guess? And because then that's going to open up the questions on a lot of different people that are what it appears are being held. I mean, a lot of people would say that, what the heck is July 4 Patriot? What's his name?
Charles Dyer.
Yeah, Charles Dyer is a political prisoner. A lot of people would say Robert Beecher is obviously Casey Massey. So it's gonna open up a lot of people and a lot of situations, but obviously there's a fair amount of risk involved in any operation like that. So we really have to be comfortable that we're in the right if we're going to pursue courses of action like that. And then one of the difficult parts with that is sealing up the back end. Does that person needs to be put into the underground so that they can stay out of prison, or exactly how we're going to handle the backside after they are freed is a totally a separate argument.
Yeah, that one's a little different than the Hammonds.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to email right now a picture of the facility that they were going to send him to. I don't think I included that portion of the article when I wrote about, they have something like 8 or 9 hours travel every time he went to court. And then his attorney put it in a motion for him to stay in Yellowstone at Billings. And they granted the motion. But that's the facility that very possibly he would be transferred to. And it's how far from Billings to Shelby, Ryan?
Billings to Shelby.
I just want to know, I mean, are we at that level of preparedness? I don't see it.
The operation can be carried out. So as far as getting something like that done, the answer is yes. I think the back end stuff is the difficulty, and also the public sentiment. Is there enough support for OMD actions that if an action is uptaken like that, that we're going to be able to get the correct message to counter the fact that we're going to be called all kinds of bad names.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge manhunt. There will be a huge manhunt, and the only thing that's going to be out on the media is a guy broken out from prison, a fugitive situation. And
those will definitely be shoot-to-kill orders.
There is an alternative that we can consider, too. I think the sympathy, I'm not sure Ryan would have a better grasp on this, the sympathy within the Montana militias might be such that they'd be willing to take it on. We could assist, but keep our name out of it as well.
I think that the opposite is true. The sympathy is not there in the Montana militia, in the different units, and most people have said that whether or not they agree with Wolf, that Wolf knew he knew by doing what he was doing that he was going to end up in jail. So I don't see a whole lot of ton of support from the.
Yeah, well, they've taken the mainstream media line on that one, haven't they?
Yeah, probably.
Pardon?
Yep.
So except for a select. Couple of groups and some more informed individuals at the leadership of those groups.
It's the saying, everybody's a patriot till it's time to do patriot shit.
Yeah, right.
Find an excuse to get out of it, grab that excuse and run with it.
Right.
And
yeah,
I'm not trying to get out of it. I just want to make sure that we're ready for it. And
well, I think with OMD we've got a different consideration than the Patriots would make an excuse to get out of it. We have to look for sake of the organization. If we had a bunch of followers now and they'd been through a mission, we would probably have much better chance of being successful in it. As much as I like Wolf, personally, I don't think that it's practical, but, you know, the decision is for the board, not for me.
Yeah, I would say my opinion of it is that it's not practical at this moment, and specifically because of what you said, John, that after that goes on, keeping him in the underground is going to be nearly impossible for very long, and it's going to put everyone who was involved or could possibly have been involved into crosshairs that they're not able to evade yet. There will be a point, I believe, where the reach of OMD and the influence of OMD will be such that performing an action like that, they'll, quite honestly, we want them to be afraid of the people, and that they would just they wouldn't be able to pursue such heavy-handed efforts because of fear of retribution on and the way that they're going to look. But we're not at that point yet.
Right.
So I take it we're unanimous in, I hate to put it this way, abandoning the Wolf effort.
Surely I would keep him on the list of political prisoners. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'd say monitor it, but as far as direct action, not at this point in time.
I would agree. I agree.
Fine.
And me as well.
So we're unanimous at this point. We'll monitor it, but right now there's no action, no feasible action.
Yep.
Okay, next item is Deagle. You have my report on Deagle. Actually, Ryan has been doing some looking in. John's, we've kind of taken that away from John so he could pursue other things like yelling fuck Muslims and things like that. But Ryan, I think, had a conversation with Deagle the other day, and she's dumped a mountain of information in a Dropbox account we set up for it. So, Ryan?
When I spoke with her, I didn't get the feeling that she was, excuse me, let me back this up and get a little more specific with what's going on there. What it appears, if I were to take the state's line or what's going to be publicized in the mainstream media, we'd have to say that the mother is thought to be acting with Munchausen's by proxy syndrome. And so Child Safety Services was notified and became involved. The doctors, what Munchausen's by proxy syndrome is that the mother uses a condition of the child in order to, she creates a mental exacerbation of the problem. And then tries to get all kinds of medical processes performed on the child. And so what it is it's a mental disorder where if you were just to go by Munchausen's disorder and not Munchausen's by proxy, Munchausen's is where if you yourself did not have an actual medical problem, but you were trying to constantly seek medical attention and medical remedies for a problem that you were creating in your head. Munchausen's by proxy just means that it's generally the parent doing this to a child. So that appears to be what the Child Safety Services line is, although they don't actually say that it's Munchausen's by proxy in any of the documentation that I've seen. it's hard to say. After going back and reviewing some of the videos, it appears that she's of sound mind. Her reactions appear to be in line with what you would presume the normal reaction would be from a parent that had her children taken away. There's some particular points of speech that sort of allude to the Munchausen by proxy syndrome diagnosis for the mother, but on the same token, that they're usually followed up with something that makes it a little more clear or kind of discounts that notion. So hard to say. I do know that after John asked her for some information, she got us a little bit of stuff. Now, I had a telephone conversation with her where I told her that we needed everything. Send us everything. She kind of shoved it off. Not necessarily shoved it off, but was intimidated by her own mountain of information that she says she has and said it's going to be very difficult. She kind of said that as soon as she was asked for all of the information, she said that her Google hard drive had been hacked and that she had no access to it. The next day, she told me that her email had been hacked and she had no access to it, so she couldn't email any of the documents, although she was told how to access the Dropbox, and she did mention at that time that also that she would be uploading documents to her Facebook page, Evidence Matters, all day, and that as she was uploading stuff to that, she would get stuff to us. So it is interesting. The fact that she did send over a bunch of information is good. I've only had a chance to review the email stuff that she sent over, not the Dropbox stuff yet, but I don't see anything of any significance that backs up her side of the story in the emails. She resent a bunch of the information that she has already sent us, and then she's sent some correspondences that have to do with other people who are working with her to get information and pursue the case. Some of it looks like pestering. And then on the other side, it looks like the government or the specific office that is mentioned in one of the emails is trying to dodge the request for information. At this point, I'm not able to make a determination. The children are taken away from her for what appears to be Munchausen's by proxy syndrome, which is a form of mental child abuse, which can turn into a physical child abuse, and that's kind of where they try to nip it in the butt. And I guess we don't have enough stuff to make a clear determination that the children were taken. She tries to allude also to a predetermination that the children were going to be taken away, and speaks of a child safety services corruption within the state, that the hospitals get $875 per child, so they have an incentive to turn children over to child safety services. But I haven't. She said that she had evidence to all that, and I haven't seen any of that information either. So basically what it boils down to is her main points of contention with the action that the state has taken. She doesn't have the documentation to verify it, although she keeps saying that she has it. She won't send it over. And that raises a suspicion then. Is this Munchausen's by proxy syndrome? Is she trying to create a situation where she's actually at fault and just doesn't want to admit it? She's in denial about her own illness. Those questions are all out there, and I guess I'd like to review a little bit more of the documentation that she has sent over before I come up with my own determination. And then I guess I'll leave that open to discussion with you gentlemen. John, have you had any more interaction with anybody on their side?
No, I'm not. I had to fire up a different account, and I'm not linked with her on that one. So I log in on the other one every once in a while. My advice is, I honestly don't want to see your efforts wasted on this. If we're not going to be able to get 100%, she needs to be a bit more proactive on her end and you know, I get that she probably has, you know, a ton of mothers out there and sympathizers and supporters that she's being bombarded with and people trying to get information. And so I just don't want, I just don't foresee us being able to get to the bottom of it without better effort on her part. And I do have questions myself, like, okay, why aren't the kids with the dad, or why aren't they with a family member? Why aren't they? So I do have those kind of questions, but I don't know if I want to see our efforts put more into this without
the father or other family members, especially if she had sole custody, would have to go to court to get custody.
Well, I mean, as a father, like, I would, I know I would be there for my kids, like, but it never would have come to this. I mean, I'm going down in a gunfight. You take my kids. Some people are just different than others, I guess. And, but I would, I'm not playing the court game and all that crap. These are my kids and my children. I know I'm of sound mind and body, so, if my kids were in like a CPS thing, then it would be relentless. I'm not leaving that courtroom until, you know, and I'm going in there. If I got to go in there with a gun too, I'm getting my kids back. Is the dad just not trying hard enough to get his kids? Does he not want the kids? Maybe there is genuine mental illness with the kid and he can't handle it. I could also see that he knows that he can't take care of that kid, but why not get the other daughter back?
Yeah, well, the older one, Hannah, apparently has autism. Clarifications on my report, too. We did find out there's a third child. He's a boy. He was 17 when the girls, his name's Joseph. He was 17 when the girls were taken. He's 18 now. So they, because of his age, they probably weren't concerned about him if they were concerned about the effect of the mother on things. The other one, I pointed out the involvement of the Arizona Department of Economic Security, based on a comment she made in a conversation with Ryan. I looked up Arizona Department of Economic Security, and in a sense, it's the DHS for Arizona. They've got everything, probably 75% of what they do has nothing to do with economic security, but child protection and all these elements now fall under the Department of Economic Security. So,
it's some USSR centralization BS, like the DHS, Department of Homeland Security umbrella agency going on there in Arizona.
Yeah, and they had about four divisions in there, and two of them would have been applicable in this case, child safety and I forgot what the other one was. So it was not indicative. We don't know, but it was not indicative necessarily that that she was receiving money. Because you had the email in there where she said the only thing she got was food stamps, and she just
right.
got those once the kids were taken. So her statement is probably true.
Right. That's kind of just one of those ones to go on the back burner, I guess. And if it's on our radar, but I would hate to see you put too much more time into it without.
I think at this point, we probably owe her something in response because she has taken the time finally to dump all the information on it. Now, Ryan, do you want to go through more of that, or should we just say that, I can write the letter?
I'd like to put a little bit more time into it. Like I said, I did go through the email stuff. I need to go through the Dropbox stuff and see. I mean, there may be one email that she sent us that ties it all together or one thing in the Dropbox that ties it all together and makes it clear that this is a case of corruption and it needs to be addressed. And I would hate to overlook that. But I also want – so anyway, I want to give it its due diligence. And then she's now to the point of she wants to move forward, But once we have a comfort level with it, she's to the point now of saying she'd like to move forward with go get these kids. And now she's talking about a total of 6 kids. There's 4 others, I guess, that are in a similar situation with other mothers. So she sent information over on them too.
Well, let's build up a list of questions that we have, I guess, and send if any of you other guys have questions, I'm sure I can sit down for 5 minutes and come up with some questions to send over. I could send them over to you, Ryan, and then you can just compile all the questions together and let her take the time to respond to all those questions.
Yeah, probably send it in an email and ask her to respond to them in line on the email.
You can send it in a Word document. We can all just have the question and then just have her type underneath each one of those questions and fill them in.
Yeah, I think I would like that because I listened to the interview you did, Ryan. Again, I appreciate it. And towards the end, when you were actually starting to press for some additional information, the voice and inflection changed and some other things. So I'd be interested in seeing if she's forthcoming with the information.
Okay.
So continue the investigation. Ryan's going to continue the investigation on this one.
Yep.
And is it fair that Ryan draft an initial set of questions since he's going through the data?
Well, I think Ryan has asked all the questions that he could think of. I'm not sure, but I mean, he's had a couple of lengthy conversations with her. I heard parts of some of them.
So who wants to go ahead and do some compiling?
I think Ryan's the one to compile it, yes, but I think that you said the initial would imply that he's going to come out with his first. I think everybody ought to write theirs like John suggested and send it to Ryan, and you know, the questions you ask might spike some or, you know, bring to light some other possible questions, but
yeah, you guys get me what questions you have that are pertinent. I think does everybody have? I'm going to have some other questions that are going to come from reviewing the documents myself. So if you guys just get me something in the, you know what? Rather, I will send out an email to the OMDAB email. With the heading of Deagle questions. And then if you guys can respond to that email with your questions as you get them, that'll keep them all organized in one email chain. Just keep your questions in that email chain.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
The next item is task list.
Okay, before we jump to that, could I put one additional item on that I just kind of thought about it. From the conversation I had with you and Ryan, it seemed like there might be something about the refugees down in New Orleans. If there's something that you folks can speak to?
The research I've done on it indicates that they have begun flowing through New Orleans. There weren't 10,000 dumped there. There was some footage from a local TV station. The first action shot was women and children getting off of a bus, families. But then the next action shot was almost like what you've seen in Europe. I would estimate 100 to 200 people, mostly 18 to 45 male.
I would like to see that because I've been doing some research and now everything that I've come up with has indicated that it's all false reports about this 10,000 refugee dump.
Okay. Local news report, I'll find it and send it out to the AB list.
Yeah,
problem,
I'll
one
be
of
ready
the things
to
that we
start
need,
heading that way.
One of the things we need to work on is like you just said, John, I'll get ready to start heading that way. And, I mean, I have some very trusted contacts around the country that will actually get off their asses and go look at a situation. But just like you said, John, there's a ton of inaccurate stuff, and it's hard to tell who's putting the crap in there on purpose and trying to discount, oh, this is all misinformation or whatever. I told Gary that I thought that the local news presser that we saw was propagandist in nature, in the sense that they tried to make sure that it showed women and children. And of course, this was only a bus full of people out of what they say is 10,000 that they were showing. And then another picture shows a bunch of military age males. So it's difficult to say, but it surely looked like they were trying to put forth the line that what it seems to me is that the mainstream media line is probably going to look something like, okay, here, look real quick, since there's concern about this. You can see that it's all families. So they bring some families in, and then all of a sudden they start flooding in all the military age males.
Right. Well, I have great contacts out there in Louisiana. I went out there and visited a good friend of mine, Saad. He's a former Muslim. Some of you guys may have seen his videos and everything. He was an Iraqi citizen, but he was born and raised in Kuwait. He fought against Saddam when they invaded in Kuwait. He's a great resource. He's an Arab, and he's well-known out there. And then also, while I was out there, word got out that I was out there, and a lot of people wanted to come and meet me. And I had the privilege of meeting a few of their militia leaders out there. And they drove me around town, took me to a few different parishes, which are kind of like, I guess, counties or cities or that we would call them, but they call them a parish out there in Louisiana. And they drove me around and showed me some different mosques that we would drive by it. And I'm like, are you sure that's a mosque? It just looked like a rundown building. And lo and behold, we would park, and I would go over and start walking up to it, and then sure as hell, there was like just like a shoe rack out front, and all their shoes were out front. And I could tell right off the bat, like, yep, that's a fucking mosque. And they don't show up on Google Earth or on Google Maps or anything. It's not like they're like a listed mosque. It's literally just like a rundown building that somebody probably owns, and they're not listed or as an official mosque or anything like that. And there's, I got three different ones that they drove me around and showed me that. And I was very impressed and happy with how active these militia guys were, and that they're on the ball, that they're, you know, that they're showing me these mosques that is on their radar. So they're taking, you know, good steps in their own state. So I'm trying to, one of the guys' name is Jim Tukes, and I'm trying to get better confirmation from him in that state on whether or not the refugees are there or not. If they are, he will know.
Well, I have no doubt they're coming in. Like I say, it's not 10,000 at a time.
Yeah, I don't doubt it either.
I posted a while back a reference to, I think I sent it to you too, John. It was a list of the mosques in the United States, and it was put out for the Muslims. And, you know, that was the current number, and I think there were over 1,000, 1,800 or something, some phenomenal number. But it would be interesting to compare that with the ones that these people found down there.
Yeah, I got addresses. We could cross-reference and see if they're even on that list.
I'm going to send two links in just a minute. One, the first one has the video that we talked about, where you'll see the women and children, and then you'll see the men. Whether there's file footage or not, we don't know. But
okay,
the indication in both articles, both are from local stations in the area, and they're indicating that it's starting, but not that 10,000 have come through.
Now, I sent out a course of action, which for state militias to start to organize around this course of action. Of course, it hasn't gone out to them. I just sent it to the board here. Dennis added in his stuff on the two shop end. There's one other course of action that I wanted to get in there, which would be to go about getting the information as they come into the country, or rather even before they got into the country. But as it appears, they're already getting here. If you guys could take a look at that, I know Dennis has looked at it. Take a look at that course of action. It has to do with interviewing everybody that comes into a state and getting the militia authorization to conduct that interview and justify it as a state-level effort. And then working with the humanitarian groups as they can. And then once those interviews are conducted, a process for detaining and turning them over to guys who are suspected, turning them over to the local authorities. And so there's a lot of different coordinations that are good that can come out of this course of action. It is a defensive, a homeland security effort, if you will, which is a proper function of the militia. And it can be supplemented by the OMD network, by helping to allocate resources where they're needed, manpower, for instance. Although, depending on the size of the convoy or the movement of refugees, the initial estimates that me and a couple of other gentlemen put together are that 25 to 30 militia guys could handle it. And that excludes probably 3 to 4 interviewers. And then you need interpreters, obviously, for every interviewer. And then it would also require an effort at the initial stages of this to put together a committee of safety to review what's going on and then make the call out for the militia to perform the action. But anyway, it does... that this course of action sets a pretty good platform for the people to initiate a defensive mechanism for their own state and take up the slack where the government is obviously, well, there's just no faith, I think, especially amongst the patriot community, that the government is going to do its the proper due diligence. And I would say a lot of people would speculate that the federal government has maybe something to do with the importation of the bad guys. So it seems prudent then for people who are concerned within that state to perform the action themselves. And this gives them a manner for doing that.
John.
It was just put on the news about even the news. It was on Fox, and even they're pushing. They were talking to, I believe it was a former CIA intelligence officer or somebody on there, but they were even telling them that they're not vetting these people that they're bringing in. They did talk about the refugees now. Obviously, it's on the radar given the Paris thing. And then the email that I received from the detective out here, who's basically somewhat assigned to providing security for my family, and now I have this awesome little box here, which he told me is a camera watching the street. they've been very cool, and he said he's going to be forwarding over emails that he gets from Department of Homeland Security. Basically, he's giving me some good fair warning, and I had asked him, I said, well, can you confirm or deny about this, the 10,000 refugees in New Orleans? And he said he hasn't heard anything about that yet, but he just got hammered with a bunch of emails from DHS, he's going to be happy to forward that stuff over to me to keep me in the loop. So any of that stuff I get.
You feel comfortable forwarding them on the AB list?
Yeah. Well, I can copy and paste. I mean, I don't think that they're trying to, that there's like, I don't know what they're capable of in the cyber world, if there's some sort of a tracker thing, and then they'll be able to follow that email or whatever. I haven't gotten them yet, and so when I get them, I have no problem sending it over to you guys and keeping you guys in the loop. I just don't know if it's the safest, but I don't see anything to hide here. I'm not afraid that I don't think we're doing anything illegal or that it's going to embed them with us or put us on the radar or anything like that.
They're not going to like it, that we'll put it that way. Especially
if we don't go public with it and use it for our own purposes, though, they won't know that we've got it, number one. But I'm sure they're not going to send them anything confidential unless it's specific to John.
Right, yeah. So, well, confidential, no. I won't get anything confidential or classified or anything like that, obviously. But he will send over anything that is it'll be more of bulletins that DHS is putting out, so people have access. I've seen FBI bulletins get put out and stuff like that. He's forwarded me FBI bulletins. So it'll be more stuff like that. So it's stuff that the public can know about.
Here's a thought on New Orleans. You've got people down there. If any of them are a Catholic, they ought to take their camos off, put on some street clothes, and go down to the Catholic Archdiocese down there and volunteer to assist in the refugee relocation program. Get somebody inside if possible.
Okay.
That's a good idea that they can see. You know, you'd have to consider that with just 10,000, an initial nut of 10,000 refugees, surely they don't have 1,000 people looking at 10 different cases. They have 5 or 10 or maybe even 20 people looking at hundreds and possibly thousands of cases. So there's no way that the manpower exists to thoroughly vet these people, and thus that creates the justification for the state, the citizens within the state organizing a defensive mechanism to interview these folks. But as I was saying, they're not going to like it because the course of action, I don't know if you read it, John. It's forceful.
Yeah, I did.
They're going to marshal the convoy of the importation of refugees into a rest area or a predetermined location. They're not going to let them go around. And the government people who are there escorting them most likely are not going to like it. And I'm guessing that with the dissemination, if this plan gets approved, what I'd like to see happen is that this plan gets disseminated to every single militia unit in the entire country. And,
if it goes out too broadly, it's going to get in the government's hands and they're going to escort them. We've got to question whether we be selective on who we trust versus, going on Georgia 3% or something like that. But if we successfully find some bad guys in the group and then go public with it, that might shame the government into being a little more critical. Doesn't mean we have to stop either. And the reason for getting that infiltrator, if they're coming through New Orleans, more than likely the Catholic diocese will have how many are being transported, where they're going, how they're going, and when they're going. All that information might be available if we can get somebody in that archdiocese down there. So at least the ones coming through New Orleans, we'd have the big problem. At least we would have the intelligence in that entry port on and the difficult thing, where are they coming in, when are they coming in, when are they going to be transporting. And if that becomes a primary port, we get all kinds of good information on, and we can identify, look on a map, see what the route's going to be and everything, and find out if it's feasible to do one of these interventions.
And I think the reason that Gary says that one of these Catholic entities, when looking over the list of organizations that have already gotten approval to accept refugees, most of them are Catholic organizations, so they're pretty heavy into it, and that also goes along with the Pope's line of trying to pressure the United States that we need to be receiving all these refugees.
I'm going to put it out on blast and make a call then for patriots to go and embed themselves with the Catholics, but I'm also going to use a photo of the Pope kissing the Quran, which did happen.
I think if you could find, those people that have been feeding you information and ask them to keep it quiet, we don't want them to know we're getting in there. So you can't really blast it, but if you've got people in New Orleans that you met when you were down there, and they can find somebody locally that's Catholic, the broader we disseminate this information, the more less likely we are to be able to get in.
Yeah, yeah. If you keep use your contacts rather than putting out a gigantic public statement, and just because they're going to try to insulate themselves and start to vet, if that makes sense, the people that become involved once they become aware that that we're there's people who are going to be trying to infiltrate the organizations in order to spread the information as to what their processes are.
So this has to be pretty covert, really.
You know, there's a couple of things. I'm reading that article, the Catholic charity down there. The guy running it is Martin Gutierrez. Seth, is he related to Gutierrez up north?
Well, I think Gutierrez is a common Spanish Mexican name.
Yeah, but that's because they're all related.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say the majority of them are going to be 18 to 45-year-old age males.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's what is indicated by the pictures.
Yeah. Well, it would also be good to get, like when they're in there, we need to get some more accurate numbers of a breakdown, being able to have a breakdown also to show the public. Like, okay, out of the 10,000 refugees, we've had 2 women, 3 children, and then all the rest were this many males. A breakdown like that, what kind of numbers are they bringing in?
Hey, John, your Thought is in Louisiana, isn't he?
Yep.
Okay, can we put together some CCIR then? Would that make sense that we can request from them so that they have something they can look for and get the pertinent information that we need in order to make decisions as far as dissemination and such?
Yeah.
Everybody's
Jim
familiar
Pugh
with
is going to be our better. Saad is more of a Lone Ranger kind of guy. He goes out and shoots, and everybody loves him and everything, but he's the Jim Toops is going to be our best source for getting volunteers or getting people to embed themselves or anything like that. So,
okay, so I will put out a second email to the board requesting what our intelligence requirements are, what information we want.
I think that's going to be mostly dependent on what access the person develops. It won't hurt us to do the list, but I have a feeling, you know, he'll be given an assignment, and he might have to walk by a desk and grab a piece of paper and walk away with it or something.
Well, yeah, if we give him, I mean, that's the purpose of CCIR, is that it creates actionable, it creates courses of action to pursue. If they're going after specific information, then, you know, it keeps them more focused rather than just putting out a broad blanket of information, some of which may be useful, some of which may be not.
Well, the determination of usefulness would be dependent on Dennis's branch, the evaluation of the data. I mean, sometimes something might, in my experience in intelligence, sometimes something might seem quite mundane, but in fact, it has information that can be used, especially with compiled with other mundane information. So, really,
but how do you feel about it?
It's hands-on.
Oh, I think that it's not a bad idea. Since we already have a course of action, go ahead and come up with the questions which would be useful in determining whether or not it would be feasible to do the course of action. But Gary's also correct. Depending upon what they've got access to, you'd probably want them to sort of like do the dumpster dive after the folks left Monday. You know, it's kind of hard to tell what it is until you get a chance to put it all together.
Just have him getting every bit of information he can get us. Let us sift through it, and whatever he can feed us, he feeds us.
Yeah, but also, again, you want
to
take correct him a little bit.
So out the trash, he throws the trash in his car instead of in the dumpster. You know, that's gathering intelligence.
Dennis, what were you saying?
No, what I'm saying is that it's also, you know, helpful to give him some idea. For example, we don't want to know everything there is to know about this particular Catholic charity right up front. We want him to focus perhaps on the refugees, particularly the incoming ones, not necessarily where there's going to be a soup kitchen. So if he has to manage his time, he can do it with some kind of guidance.
So if we put together our CCIR and pass that along, and then also leave it broad, any other information that you get may or may not be pertinent, so please forward us everything you get, but we can have them, you know, the stuff that they get, particularly answering that, those intelligence requirements, can be made obvious that way.
Yeah, and then what you can do is at some point after he's been in there for a while or gained some familiarity, we get him on the phone, or perhaps somebody down there is a cutout who knows him, gets him on the phone, and can then, you know, ask him some more directed questions, like a conference call type thing, and we'll just see where it goes. Because he may know things.
How do you feel about putting out, and this may be something, because there is a lack of involvement on the forum, we can put out in a public way. John can use his. Everybody can use their ability to reach out to the public, whatever that may be, whatever venues and forums that might be. We can make the information requirements known, so that anybody, now everybody's working on it, whether it's direct involvement or not, and then we can start seeing some direct questions answered rather than a bunch of.
What you just described is that mundane information that will give them information. Do you follow what I just said?
Yeah, you need to be careful, because what we're really going to ask in the broadcast, if you will, is, hey, we've seen some reports of some stuff happening down in New Orleans or supposedly some refugees there. Anybody on the ground that can confirm or deny?
Well, I think that we should just let John reach out to Louisiana, to his contacts, and keep it. That's about as close as you're going to keep it. And let's go that direction. And,
right. I think.
Yeah. Once I see what they got, I'll go out there. I already got a place to stay and everything. If I see that it's really going on, I'll go and bed my damn self in there.
Well, they're saying in the second article that I'm reading here that the three. Town cities that they're going to relocate in Louisiana are Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and Metairie.
That would be Metairie.
Yeah. So those are where, when you call them, to tell them to start peekabooing around.
Well, if the guy goes in and says, look, I have sympathy for the refugees, they're going to put him in the refugee side of that. He's not going down there to wash dishes or anything else. If he's going for a specific purpose, he's going to be in close proximity to people dealing with the refugee situation. Now, as far as OMD, I think that we ought to act like we're avoiding the refugee issue.
Yeah, I think we should just let John do his contacts and see what they come up with in the next week or two.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so we'll put it on the agenda for next week. John, could you take and maybe send out to the OMD list the location of those three mosques? Because I, at least for one, would like to be able to take a little closer look at them.
Yeah.
I guess out of curiosity, why would we want the appearance that we're avoiding an issue of where
that's
mutual
that mundane,
defense?
That's that mundane information. If they're apprehensive about us now, and we start looking at the refugee issue, they're going to increase their defense, their protection around those elements. That's the mundane information that is good intelligence. It's amazing how productive that can be.
I still think they're going to increase the protection of these refugees regardless, especially now given the France thing and seeing how pissed off people are. I mean, it's all over Facebook and social media.
It's going to be even more if OMD starts grasping, though.
Yeah, it's going to look kind of odd to anybody that an entity claiming the purpose of mutual defense is avoiding one of the premier issues requiring mutual defense.
We're not
avoiding it. We're doing it covertly.
Yes, but as far as publicly, Ryan, we're talking, you know, everything so far has been protection of individuals. And so what you're doing is assuming something and then assuming back to how come they're not covering this. You know, we're protecting people that have their life, liberty, or property threatened. And we're not talking about protecting the whole country. We're not talking about border defense and anything we've put out. We're looking at individuals that need our protection. And I think we need to overtly keep that image. We've never said we're defending the country. That's something we're doing behind closed doors.
Yeah, and you don't want to tip your hand until it's time to tip it.
Right.
Okay, well, gentlemen, let's see if we have a hand or not. John, if you'll go ahead and send out the location of the mosques, contact your folk in Louisiana, which I think is what we all talked about doing, both of those things, and perhaps maybe send out to the board in a day or two if you get some initial feedback, just a quick one, and maybe we need to do another call. But we'll see. Does that sound fair to everybody?
Yeah, a little bit further, too. If you can't find a Catholic, I don't
think
Catholics would shun Lutherans.
Insert them.
Volunteering to help where he could.
Yeah, that's what we do down here. We try to get people to go into the humanitarian groups to help go put out water, and then when they do that, they tell us where all the water's at.
And somebody else tells all the Mexicans where the water's at.
Yeah, but now we know where the Mexicans are going because we know where the water's at.
Right.
So, yeah, if they can, you can get somebody in there, that'd be even better.
So, so at this point, I guess we understand John's going to go ahead and pursue contacting his resources, and OMD is going to avoid the refugee issue completely as far as public exposure.
For right now, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll be putting that, I'll put that email out for everybody to respond to with their questions as far as information requirements.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and then as far as the course of action, if everybody could respond, I think Dennis has already told me that he likes it. John said he likes it. If Gary and Tim, if you guys could look it over and just get your approval or denial or rather your criticisms and such, and then we can look at adjusting whatever needs to be adjusted and. With the ultimate goal that this is eventually going to get disseminated, whether it's covertly or overtly, out to as many militia units around the country as possible.
Well, that I think we need to consider what the timing would be for getting it out based upon our just now conversation, because once it goes out to the militia, then it's going to be apparent. Every militia group's probably got at least one informant or agent in it.
What we have in Montana, there's already we've had some leadership. We had one specific leadership meeting in physical form, and it was agreed that we would start the process of trying to get a committee of safety form. There's we wanted to put at least 5 to 6 different county representatives together for that committee of safety. There's 3 that have come forth so far. To volunteer for that, and obviously that's a position that's opening itself up to pretty heavy ridicule and such, because it's going to be authorizing it the course of action, the militia course of action. So it has some support amongst the groups in Montana already, and you know I think once it's approved, we get that word out there as to what that course of action could be. Obviously we want to keep the information close until the time comes, but we also need to allow those units the time to put together their specific missions to that course of action.
I think it ought to come from other than you as well. You know, if you find somebody else to distribute it, we want to keep the tie to OMD broken as possible.
Yeah. Well, and that's the decision at the moment. I don't think we'll be putting anything on that course of action out until we get a little more clarity and then define our our own position.
Well, that won't go out until the board approves its dissemination and how it's going to be disseminated, correct?
Right, yeah, I think those things are going to start happening in concert as we get more information and start deciding to define our position publicly.
Okay. So I guess we're clear on that one.
Okay, we're ready to jump over to the task list?
Yep.
Okay, top of the list is the Matrix. Still working there. I don't think there's been any movement on the logo and letterhead, has there, Gary?
On the contrary, I sent out a DOT to everybody to approve.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm not sure if everybody got back to you.
I'd have to look and see. I think they did.
Okay. And if we're approved, we're approved.
Has everybody seen the letterhead?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody's approved it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, get my name off the list, yeah.
Well, that's why we do this.
I don't like seeing my name up there.
Okay, the next one is the OMD volunteer account. That's my bad. I haven't got back to Tim on that one. A lot of crap came up this week. I'm going to do it, but my bad.
All right, I know. Fine. Let's see.
Board member background checks. Has everybody done them?
I'm still waiting. Ours are, but I'm still waiting on Tim to give me not an image, but the text. Or did you give that to me, Tim?
The text of
your wording, where the links and everything work, the code and all that.
Yeah, I think I just copied and pasted all that and sent it off.
You did. Okay, I'll find it then. I've been busy, but
I'll do it again.
The image one.
I'll do it again.
Okay, I'll work with it as soon as I get it this time.
All right.
Make sure it gets done.
Okay. Brevity 10 code.
Hold on background checks. This brings up something. I've got a guy that is an administrator on the web page. And he's not, Ryan and I discussed this. I've got some teams that I work with for different things. And do we need to bring them into Tier 2 or can we leave them out? Now, he's got access to the discussion page only. I've got another guy that is setting up the web page. Do they have to come in? Do we want them to come in, or can they remain out?
Do they have a desire to come in?
Do we want
have
to
express any
basis if they want to retain autonomy? Do we allow that, or do we have to bring them in if they're going to participate on these?
Well, I would if they're privy to everything on a web page, which means
they're privy
pretty
to
much
everything that anybody else is.
Right. I
well,
don't see them as
long as they're not privy to everything that we talk about or anything like that.
They're privy to nothing that we talk about.
All right. I got no problem.
So if they want to come in, we'll admit them to two. They'll do the background and all that. If they don't want to come in, we can leave them out. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Yep. That's
correct. Okay.
Yep.
Because at least two of them don't want to be on. They'd rather not. One of them did submit an application, and it's 214. But I had him do that just in case the requirement went that way. If you'd like to see that without him doing the background check, I have no problem with that, but otherwise we won't bring him in on Tier 2. I mean, we've got other applications we've rejected. So if you want to see that, I can send it to you. But he's the one he's an administrator along with me on the discussion page.
I'd like to see it just again. That's okay.
No, I'm fine.
Well, since we won't do a background check on him or anything, I don't think we'd find anything, but we're not going to bring him on tier two. This is FYI only, then.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And
anything else on background checks?
No.
Hearing nothing, moving on to brevity codes.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to do that when Ryan actually shows up here.
Well,
okay.
And I do have a call-in to a gentleman that I used to work with who is going to – he's going to get me an entire combo log. I don't know how familiar you are, but anyway, when we would go on an operation, we would have an entire a pilot – inside of a pilot's checklist book, a combo log that had all of the brevity codes. So he's going to see about getting me a copy of that entire deal, and we're going to have something pretty nice to work with once we hit the ground on that stuff. I also have another gentleman who I'd like to bring in on Tier 2 under communications, who he does have some communications protocol already put together for operations, so it would fit pretty nicely into the organizational plan for militia response to already have some products put together. Anyway, when I get that information from the one gentleman, I will be sure and get with you on that, Tim.
All right.
And which may be by the time I get down there, who knows how fast he's going to get it to me. And then the other gentleman, I will get you and him hooked up so that, and then we can have that conversation.
All right. Yeah, because, I mean, down here we use just clear text, so there is no, it's, you know, we do it with a KISS principle. And because we don't want somebody going, well, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
Oh, come on. That's half the fun of communicating on the radio.
Yeah, unless your life's in danger.
Well, that just makes it that much more exciting.
Yeah, let me get out the book. What page was that on?
Yeah.
Well, and I think this stuff, that stuff's definitely going to help. What he has put together is stuff that can be, it's in a format that can be agreed upon by the leadership that comes together at a specific operation, and then it can be disseminated pretty easily from the format he has put together. I think it's real value also is going to be in the sense of training. And trying to get some a unified concept of communications and communications protocols amongst people that we train.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
You know, the understanding that Tim's operation is roving patrols basically in a base. We're going to have defensive operations. We're going to have interrogation operations. We're going to have a number of operations. And in some of those, that's what we've got to think of where a different kind of operational security is mandatory.
Yeah. Unless you go to encrypted radios.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, if we had, you know, 500 people show up at Hammond's, for example, how many encrypted radios do we have? We have available there. So, you know, we need an alternative to the wealthy pursuit of communication.
Yeah. Well, it's like down here, I just give up the encrypted radios to team leaders and everything that needs to be sent across securely just goes to the team leader, and the team leader is the only one that talks on the radio.
Yeah, but if we had a number of platoons or squads out on at Hammond, we might have, you know, 10, 15, 20 units out at any given time. So that's where the necessity of some security is required.
Yep. Well, next time these guys with everything except for Cuisinart on their weapon need to spend some of that money on some good communications gear.
I love that. And these guys are popping. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but, you know, there's tons of pictures floating around now. People are just have all this high-speed gear, and I really wonder how many of them know how to use the shit.
Yeah, and if they
well, look at all this high. high-speed gear, and they got a $30 radio. And it's like, well, your fucking life depends on your communications, period.
Yep. Well, shoot, move, and communicate, right? They got great weapon systems, so they probably need, some of them need to focus on their physical fitness so they can hold up the movement side, and then, like you said, the failure in the communication side is pretty rampant across the board, I think.
Well, I was talking to someone about it. A guy came out to an FTX or some event, and he had about $1,500 worth of sniper stuff sitting there, and he'd never he had to be told how to zero the sights.
Oh, yeah, that issue came up at the Bundy Ranch pretty ramp. Guys brought 50 caliber sniper systems in that were totally set up incorrectly, weren't zeroed. They didn't know how to use them. They couldn't make anything over a 200 or 300-yard shot. Anyway,
that must have been the conversation I was thinking of. I was trying to remember who it was, Ryan.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's work on, since everybody is more into all the awesome optics and quad rail accoutrements, and everybody only has $30 radios, then yeah, I guess we have to brevity code the shit out of it.
Brevity codes work pretty nicely for that stuff, and it's as simple as them pulling a list out of their pocket, that's passed around, and them saying one word,
right.
And you can even have them substitute numbers for words or whatever. Anyway, once we get something that we feel comfortable with, and there again, that might just be, we want to keep that stuff as close to the hip as possible until it becomes time to roll it out so that they're going out through trusted avenues.
Right.
We might be developing that, right there, despite whatever information we get from this guy. And then also, Tim, on that note of heading down there, obviously if the Hammonds decide that they're going to issue a request to us, then
right.
that may interfere with that trip as far as the length of it and all that, because I may end up there developing the defensive course of action a little more in depth.
Gotcha. No problem.
Okay, training plan. Still waiting on comments, Tim, or did you get some?
I didn't get. I guess I'm still waiting on them because.
Okay, I'll respond with a request that close order drill and the marching to and from. I didn't put it in writing yet. I will.
All right.
Okay, everybody get your comments into Tim. Wolf plan. I guess that's going to be on hold now.
We're just going to monitor it, but we'll monitor it and see what happens.
Yeah, so I'll just move it down and put it as in the completed column. I'll just put it on hold rather than just drop it down to the bottom. Let's see, the Deagle background. It looks like we got the background, so that was done.
Well, you might switch that to... it's in Ryan's lap now. We're waiting on his final. You can leave me up there if I'm going to write the letter to Mrs. Deagle, or if Ryan wants to write it to explain why we don't pick it up.
Yeah, I'll probably replace that with Ryan doing an email link of email stream, I guess, of Deagle questions.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think pull John off. He's got his hands full anyway.
Yep.
He's got to start our Secret Service.
Yep. Well, let's see. For the initial contact document, the next one, I've done about three of them and none of which I like yet, so I'm still working on it. Once I get something I like, I'll send it out to you guys.
Nice.
Let's see. Refugee plan input. I sent mine in. I guess, I don't know if we're waiting on John to give some more, or, again, that's kind of just rolled into the refugee questions and John contacting Louisiana folk, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, so here are the new ones I've got. Ryan, you have two. One is going to be the refugee CCIR-type email questions.
Ooh.
Second one is going to be the Deagle question list. For John, you're going to contact the Louisiana folk and send us some sort of an in progress or something in a few days, depending on what you get. And you're also going to send out the list of the mosques, locations, three, I guess, that you got from your visit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gary, you're going to take and send out the background information on that one individual. And that's pretty much anything I've got. Has anybody got any other ones I need to add?
Nope.
Okay, hearing none, we'll take and move down to, discussing any potential new members. We've kind of chatted about a few here and there, but do you have anything specifically, Ryan?
I don't. I don't recall if I mentioned the gentleman that I'm looking at for a response coordinator, probably for any, for the first operation, he'd probably be on a tier two level, and then depending on his performance with that, then we can make a determination as to whether we want to make him a response coordinator. But he does have freedom of movement. He's funded of his own, at least for himself. So he has the freedom of movement and operative capacity to do stuff. Without, he doesn't have to go to work or anything like that. He can move about and do things like that. But at this point, I don't have the application or background check back from him. So he is very interested, and I think he'll be an asset. Other than that, I don't have anything new.
Well, let me throw.
Oh, was the gentleman who was the Canadian?
Yes.
We had discussed Tom before, and Tom came down here with Ryan, and we had some interesting conversations, but Tom was reluctant to join Tier 2 just because of his personal circumstances, so he's off the list at this point.
Okay. Anyone else have anything like that? Okay, hearing nothing, let's move down to... reports from functional areas, and I'm starting with planning with John, and see you got a little bit of press there in the D.C. area.
In D.C. area?
Weren't you on the Washington Times?
No, the Islamic Times, or the Islamic Post or something like that.
Yeah,
the Islamic
Post.
Oh, I thought
Islamic
I heard something
Post.
At the beginning.
No. As far as planning,
he's
for planning.
Facebook page, you can find, you'll see his picture in a banner with, I think, five pictures across the top in the photo. And at this point, I guess that's all we have on it. I'm going to try and get more information on it.
Yeah, they call us the American Taliban. They say that we're the terrorists, myself, Pam Geller, and a few others on there.
And they also, Robert Doggart, they called him, I searched American Taliban on their page. They were talking about Doggart, Robert Doggart, who's the guy that was going to go up and attack the place. And they talk about how bad the Americans are. And we've never done anything to hurt any Americans. No, they just tried in Texas, and they've managed to in a few other places. But, I mean, it's the propaganda sheet, really, and what
yeah.
I look at on it. But I'll check it from time to time and see if I can get John's article so we can see how bad a monster he really is. And if he is bad enough, maybe we'll give him a promotion in OMD.
Anything on the planning aspect of things, John?
No. No, other than, I know my tasks, so.
Okay. Nothing for me. Moving down to Gary, public relations or logistics?
Well, I think we've pretty much covered
actually,
it. Press release went out. There's been some conversations.
Yep.
It's gone to other blogs and what I mentioned earlier.
Okay, then moving on to Tim.
What do you want to know?
Do you have anything else you haven't covered?
Nope, I'm covered.
Okay, Ryan, back to you.
I think we're pretty good. We pretty much hit on all the points. Whenever you've already got that, what you're looking at as far as initial contact reports or however we're terming that. That'll be helpful. And the other gentleman I'm looking at for response coordination, other than that, it would be helpful if you guys can use your contacts, whether you need to refer them to me or whatever, so that we can start looking at response teams outside of what I already have together. And we can start looking. I don't know if we need to start looking regionally or what it needs to be. But anyway, people that we already know ahead of time will respond to an alert and are willing to work directly with us. That would be helpful.
Okay.
Other than that, I think that's all I got.
Okay. Anybody have anything new emerging that you haven't talked about?
I'd just like to, if everyone can, you know, put their efforts into making sure that the mission statement gets out there. So try and make people as aware as you possibly can of who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Okay.
Do that as soon as we get off the phone.
Well, with approval, I'll put a mission statement out. The first one was a press release. I can go ahead and put a mission statement out on the letterhead.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yep.
Anyone have anything else? If not, Ryan, your closing remarks, sir.
I think everything's still moving along pretty good. The main things in our sights at this moment are probably getting some clarity on the refugee situation, determining what the Hammond situation is going to look like, whether we're going to have a request or not, and then keep on moving forward with establishing our other protocols that we want to have in place for communications and training and such. Training's going to get moved, I'm sure, get a huge bump in development when Tim and I and a few other individuals are able to actually sit down and start addressing it directly. Other than that, everything's looking good. Like I said, it'll be vastly helpful if people can use their own contacts in order to start helping to build response teams, initial response teams, something that should look along the lines of a response coordinator, and then people to handle the seven functional disciplines that we have this board set up around that are on the ground, able to take the weight off of the individual as far as those things are concerned. Other than that, everything looks good.
Okay, gentlemen, the only thing I would suggest is, depending upon what happens Wednesday with the interview with the Hammonds, we may need another call prior to Sunday. I'll leave that up, obviously, to Ryan to make some decisions, but that would be the only thing I would suggest that might alter our schedule.
Roger that.
Yeah, I think that there's probably, if there's anything new comes out of it, then we should probably look at having a conversation on Wednesday evening. So tentatively, I would say that's probably good to plan for. But we'll pin it on whether or not there's new information that comes out of that meeting.
So you just get in touch with me if we want to call a special meeting, and I'll put a notice out.
Yep.
And if nothing else, why don't you put out a notice just that you had it and there was nothing new? That way we're not waiting around thinking there might be one or not. We'll just get a positive comm on that. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good.
Well, why don't you put one out anyway, and I'll get it, and then I'll put out a reminder and the time for the call, but put the time that you prefer, so you've got either or.
Right. Right.
Put it all on you, and
yep.
I'll respond if it's for a call.
Yep.
And
yeah, everybody should go be safe.
Next Sunday, I'm going to try to be available, but I got about 16 guys coming in on the 20th, and we're going to be out until the 25th. So if I can get on top of a mountain out there, I'll touch base.
Okay.
Hey, I'll be in the mountains.
Do you have a definitive timeline for when you were going? We were going to link up, possibly meet at the Bundy's, and then head down to Mueller's location. Was that was in December, correct?
Yeah, I did send out an email with my timeline, and then that may have been before you came on board. So I'll go back and
I don't know where the Bundy Ranch is. I've never been there. So is it in Nevada? Is it in Arizona? Is it?
In Nevada, it's about 90 miles east, northeast of Las Vegas. So the Virgin River Gorge, it's just to the west of that.
What's the interstate highway number there?
Interstate 15.
So just go to Vegas, get 15 northbound, and when you see the Mesquite exit, get off, go back around under east, under the underpass, and turn right on the First Third Road, correct?
No, it's an exit that's pretty far before. It's actually the Bunkerville exit that you want.
I'm sorry, yeah, Bunkerville exit.
Yeah, but we'll have to get more detailed information because the ranch is a ways away from that, and it's pretty, you know, you're not going to get there with some simple instructions. So, as that time approaches, what I'm looking at is the Monday after. After Thanksgiving, it's going to be that Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to leave and head that direction. And the goal is to arrive down at Tim's location within a couple of days and stop at the Bundy's en route. And so I would say probably sometime around the 1st or 2nd, John, is where we'll be looking at meeting at the Bundy's.
Okay. I haven't been able to 100% commit to going to the Bundy. I mean, that's going like 8 hours the opposite direction and then coming right back down towards me to be able to go down to Mailer. So, I mean, I do want to go there. I do. I want to meet them. They sound like great people and everything. So I'll just have to see what my finances look like at the time frame, which should be okay. But
sure. And then if you're not able to get there, one of my purposes is to get a better feel for exactly where we're at as far as provisions that are available. So I'll if you're not able to make it, then I'll try and get that as detailed as I can for you.
And my house here in Phoenix can be on another stop coming down from the Bundy's. You come here, and you're welcome to stay here at my house. I have two extra fully furnished rooms here at my house. I got a 3,000 square foot house, so you can rest one night here, and then we can continue the punch and head down there together towards Tim's position.
Sounds good.
We're done.
Meeting adjourned.